what were your plans for the Mission Folk Festival before COVID hit and changed the entire year?
It would have been our 34th annual Folk Festival, and we would normally have gathered in Fraser River Heritage Park, which we have done since our inception. With the restrictions and our commitment to our patrons and our artists' health, we made the really, really hard decision to go virtual instead of having a live show. That meant a complete shift in how we did things. We moved to a donation model for admissions. We engaged with artists from across Canada, as well as locally, to produce 3 nights of programming to kind of mimic what we do. Ultimately, it resulted in a great opportunity to gather together, which was beautiful. We had our longtime coordinators introduce bands. We had our very valued board members make donation appeals, and we had some really great artists record sets that were specifically for our festival, which was really, really nice. It allowed us to do on a very small scale what our larger programming was going to be.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about that first, the importance of making sure that artists still have an opportunity to A, present their music, and B, get paid for it. How did you work those goals into what you did this year?
There's a lot of times where artists get asked to donate their talent for exposure, whether that is, you know, musicians, art, like graphic designers, storytellers. And we really believe in where we can, paying people for their talent. We believe that artists need to be paid for their work. We came off a number of years ago, where a change in leadership, and we were faced with a lot of debt after some very rainy festivals. We couldn't pay a lot, and we definitely asked for friends and family rates. But at the same time, it was really important to us both then and now that every artist contributing would get paid. Where we could, we paid them what they would get for a one set performance. So I spoke with a lot of other festivals and organizations. There's a wide range of pay structures when you look at different festivals across Canada. We are one of the smaller ones, even though we run for 3 days and we've been going for as long as we have. Artist fees reflect that, I think. You know, artists are sensitive to the organizations booking them as well as to their own bottom lines. So we paid full fees where we could. Obviously, we weren't booking them for 3 days. So that definitely, in some cases, changed what the going rate was. But we paid them over scale for their 30 to 45 minute sets. So we were quite happy with that. And I think the artists were as well.
I'm wondering how you were received with the virtual programming. How did that go?
We definitely had less people in a nutshell. So where we would be around 2,000 to 3,000 people on the festival weekend, what we found is that people were really trying to make the best of their summer. So where we had the diehard fans out for the weekend and they were tweeting us and showing us pictures of their, festival at home, we found that a lot of people were tuning in afterwards and watching, maybe they were away camping with no signal, but then they would pick up the festival on Tuesday night. So in some ways, we really appreciated having this sort of archival element up so people could engage the festival on their own time.
Mm-hmm. So you're usually like 2,000 to 3,000 people strong. So it's a huge event. What was your live audience viewership?
We had about between 500 and 1,000 people each night. I would say that we had a solid, for sure we knew we're watching between 300 and 500, and then the numbers fluctuated after that.
Okay. And what was the feedback like after it was done?
We received really positive feedback. We had a lot of people expressing their disappointment that they couldn't be there in person or volunteering or joining or having their child with them. And one person, messaged us and just said, this would have been my child's first. They had been coming for years. Last year they were pregnant. This year that was going to be their child's first festival. And so those moments are really touching. But overall, people were really pleased. It was a chance to gather. It was a chance to listen to music. It was a chance to experience new music, which is always my goal. I think overall it was really positive. Do you want to talk about 2021?
I do, but I also want to know what you would want to do better from this year's event.
We added a couple of new things this year. So one of them was our online store. We would like to be able to highlight and promote, you know, safe viewing. I want there to be more engagement with our audience groups. That takes a lot of effort to kind of breach that divide between the online and in person. We have a long history of working with our community, and our festival has a pretty great economic impact in Mission primarily, but also in Abbotsford, because in the past we've put artists in Abbotsford. We get some of our supplies from businesses in Abbotsford. So I would like to work on our financial impact in our community. We're still going to use local suppliers where we can, but I would like to maybe work with restaurants and breweries to come up with some festival packages that our audience could buy ahead of time, so they could, you know, enjoy our festival weekend with a festive ale, with some restaurant supplies. Even though, you know, the festival happens in your backyard or at your campsite, I want to work with some suppliers to have those kind of festival packages. So, you know, get the low festival chair and a festival blanket. We had Pressland General do our festival merch. They've been a wonderful supporter of us over the last 3 years, and they've been doing our festival shirts for us and our festival gear, like hats and water bottles and bags and that sort of thing. So I want to continue to work with them and maybe create a festival store on site with them. And then, you know, like the Mission Downtown Business Association, they're a great community resource, and where we could support their work, we would like to do that more. A big one that we missed out on last year, which we are going to bring back this year, is our beloved festival choir. We started this in 2016 with people singing on site, so audience members coming and singing. And in 2017, we did it with David Francie, where we sang his songs. And we want to continue to do that kind of work. So it would be, you know, gathering choir online. It would have a program particularly connected to the sort of cultural focus or artistic focus of the festival. We also want to continue our artist in residence program. So we did that first with Kat Wahama, and she brought her quilts. She was the civic artist for Maple Ridge and a board member and performer at our festival. So we had her come and display her art. And then she brought with her her resilience quilt, which deals with addiction in the community. And then we had Jennifer Seymour come and present her floral mandalas on site at the festival. And last year, our artist in residence was going to be Ronnie Dean Harris, also known as Oz 12. And he is this amazing Indigenous artist who does large-scale murals and graphic design, as well as his hip-hop and facilitation. And so we're hoping to have him back this year. And we want to feature them as part of our online programming.